Good morning, Miracle Life Family Church. We're so glad that you are joining us this morning, and we believe that the wonderful things that are happening, I hope you're plugging in yourself. One of the first things I'd like to remind you, this is for the men. Brave Men's Conference is happening 30th and 31st of October. If you have not registered, please, please ensure you register. You don't want to miss this. Please also note that this conference is free. There is no fee attached to it. It is free, free, free. And so please tell your friend, wives, girlfriends, fiancés, please ensure that, yes, your partners are attending the Brave Men's Conference. Also, last week we did mention, we mentioned that we will update you regarding the possible opening of physical on-campus services. We would like to let you know that as we've sat down with our staff as well as with the board and also having consultations with regards to the same opening, we would like to notify you that we will be opening for physical on-campus service. Please note that church did not close, so this is for the physical gathering here in the auditorium. We'll be opening for physical gathering here on the 1st of November. So on the 1st of November, we are back here on campus. Please note that obviously we still follow the Ministry of Health guidelines with regards to masks and everything. And also please pay attention to our social media platforms. We will notify you with regards to how that will work in the coming week and days regarding how that will go about. So please take note, 1st November is when we come back and we will let you know with regards to anything else that you may need to know. Please check our Facebook page and you'll be able to get more information regarding that. Well, last week, Pastor Walker concluded our series titled The Life of Faith. He concluded our series on the life of faith, and therefore it's something that I would like to encourage each and every one of us. In case you missed any sermon in that series, please make sure you listen, you watch those sermons, and I'm sure definitely you'll be glad you did and your life will not be the same again. Today I'd like to bring an encouragement to you before we move on to another series. And so I'd like to talk about a subject that may be a little bit familiar with us, or maybe we have heard about it. And for some of us it will be a reminder, but to some it might be a place or an opportunity to bring some more clarity regarding the topic. And therefore today I would like to talk, I'm talking about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. And we're reading from the book of John in chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. Quite a handful read, but we'll read ahead of you and then be able to dissect what God has for us this morning. John chapter 10 and verse 11 to 18. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Well, when we look at this story and many other stories in the Bible about Jesus, Jesus often spoke in ruler images that communicated visually for the people he addressed, so that it was easier for them to understand what he was communicating. So even though today sometimes we're not really fully acquainted with those images today, there's still great deal that can really help us in these stories, even when in our modern day industrialized world, even if the setting might be different, there's wonderful truth that is in there that can help us in our lives today. And so one such image that Jesus used was that of a shepherd. And this is such a beautiful story because we're looking at the good shepherd. So this is where, this was something that was common even among the people of that day. Because they understood, even when Jesus talked about the good shepherd, the fact that he was mentioning a shepherd, it was something they were familiar with. Because Canaan in Israel then was largely a pastoral region rather than an agricultural region. And so shepherds were very familiar. Shepherds were people that almost everybody knew. And therefore, when Jesus was talking about the good shepherd, he was not just referring to one being good in terms of skill. He was referring more than that. He was using the word in such a way that it would refer to, if you were giving an example of a good doctor. And if you were to talk about a good doctor, one would not only talk about the skill that they have, but one would also be known for his sympathy or his graciousness, the character that one had. And so when Jesus was talking about the good shepherd, he was defining not just the skill, but the character of this shepherd, and meaning that he was a good shepherd. So the word good describes the quality of consciousness, which makes him lovely and beautiful. And so today I would like us to explore a few outstanding characteristics of this good shepherd. Obviously there are a lot, but I would like to highlight a few today that will help us even as we embark on this. And I'd like you to visualize, and I'll try to paint a picture so we can visualize it as it were when Jesus was communicating them. Because if we think of a shepherd today, for some of us it's not really something that touches home, because we've not maybe even seen a good shepherd. If probably we go to certain provinces or certain areas in our land, we would find maybe a young boy rearing cattle and overseeing them and things like that. And many other times when we're thinking of a shepherd, when we talk about a good shepherd, maybe our thoughts are led to thinking of a young boy that is leading and taking care of cattle. But there is something that is significant that Jesus was trying to paint that I'd like to bring to your attention this morning. Among the three things that I'd like to share this morning is that the first thing among the characteristics of a good shepherd, the first characteristic we see is that he cares for you. He cares for you. One of the most outstanding characteristics of Jesus was his love and his compassion. He cares for you. Jesus, the good shepherd, is concerned and interested in people. They matter to him. People matter to God. They matter to him. On one occasion, we see Jesus and his disciples, they were traveling onto the other side of the Sea of Galilee by boat. And the Bible talks about how that Jesus was sleeping. And as he was sleeping, there was a storm that came up and the waves came into the boat. And do you know what they were thinking and what they were saying? They were screaming. And they came to Jesus and saying, "Do you not care that we perish? Do you not care that we are about to die?" Jesus woke up, rebuked the storm. He rebuked the wind, and the winds came down. They calmed down, the waves came down. And Jesus proved that he indeed cares for us. He cared for those men because he didn't want them to drown. He didn't want them to suffer. Because why? He cares for them. The same scripture we read in the book of John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Why is it Jesus painting this picture? Because somebody who's been hired to take care of the sheep only will run away thinking, "Hey, I need to take care of my life. This is a wolf or this is a lion." But a shepherd who owns the sheep will stand there to defend the sheep. Why? He cares for his sheep. He accounts for each and every one of them. Because why? He cares. And that is the picture that Jesus portrays to us. That he cares for us regardless of a situation we may be in. He cares for us and he's out there to rescue us. The Bible talks about many other afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Why does he do that? He cares for you. The good shepherd cares for you. Regardless of how you feel, we were singing a song earlier, he's a way maker. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. Even if I don't see it, He's working. Why? He cares for you. He does not wait for you to see it. He cares for you and He will show it in your life. He is the good shepherd. He does care for you. And I've heard of many people questioning God, if God really cares for them, because maybe something is going wrong in their lives. Maybe things are going sour financially, things are not well. They're stressed, maybe they're in debt, or maybe there's pressure everywhere. And they begin to question God and say, do you really care that I'm going through this problem? Many of the times we begin to blame God. Lord, if you cared enough, I would not be in such a situation. I came to remind you something here, child of God. He cares for you. The good shepherd cares for you. Yes, even in that mess. Yes, even in that mud, wherever you're in, He cares for you. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, it says, give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. Give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Hallelujah. Give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall away. They will not fall. Why? He cares for you. But the thing is this, many of the times, even when we have a burden, even when we have a situation, we do the contrary. There is something we ought to do that will help us experience the care and the love of God. And this is, I want to read a scripture that confirms the scripture that I just read. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, I love how the Amplified puts it, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. Once and for all. For He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. He cares for you, child of God. Let me read that again. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, the anxieties, the worries, the very things that wake you up at night that you're not sleeping, He cares for them. But you need to do something. Cast all your cares to Him. Many of the times the problem sometimes as believers is if this was a care or a worry or a burden, we are carrying it there. And then when we say, the Bible says, cast it unto the Lord, we temporarily place it there. But as we're living, we walk away with it. He says, cast it unto the Lord. Cast your cares, all your anxieties, your worries. Your worries, the very same things that keep you awake at night. The very same things that is bothering you. That even at the end of the service, you're still thinking, I don't even know how I'm going to sort out that. I don't even know where we're going to eat. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew 6. To say, can you add an inch to your height by worrying? No. If God, who feeds the birds of the air, feeds them. If He does that, how much more can He do it for you? He's able to care for you. He's able to supply. The Bible says that the birds do not farm. I don't know where you live, but where I live, I've never seen a bird flying with a pig or a hoe going to the farm to farm. And if it doesn't do that, but every day it is fed. In fact, I think it was Pastor Walker who kept saying, who talked about the aspect to say, I don't know if you've ever seen a skinny bird that seemed malnourished with malnutrition. No, it is well fed. Because why? If God cares for the birds, you are of more value than the birds. He cares for you. It says, casting all your cares, your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Once and for all on Him. For He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. God watches over you, child of God. He does watch over you. So don't give up. Simply come to Him and say, Lord, I have this challenge. You see, one problem I find sometimes as believers is that we are good with really pouring our hearts to our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues. But we never get to pour really our hearts to God, even about our challenges. We forget that He wants to hear that. He wants us to cast our cares to Him. Because with our friends, we tell them, no, I'm going through this. But to God, say, Lord, just help me. Help me on what? Be specific. Lord, I have this trouble. Lord, I have this. I'm casting it to you. Help me because you care for me. The Lord cares for you. My second point, among the characteristics that we're highlighting today, is that He knows you. He knows you. If we look at back in the same story we're looking at in John 10, in fact, in the eastern, they'll talk about the eastern shepherds of the region, talks about they used to raise sheep for wool rather than for food. And so therefore, usually the sheep would be with the shepherd for many years and were often known by descriptive names. So you find that maybe one sheep is known as the brown-legged sheep or the black-eared sheep. Because why? They've stayed with the sheep for a long time that they begin to describe them based on certain things about them. And that's how they know the sheep. The shepherds knew each and every sheep. Every one of them was known by the shepherds. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. The shepherd knows the uniqueness of each sheep. In fact, A couple of months ago, I did watch one video of a demonstration of this being true. There was a shepherd that was standing, and there was another person who came wanting to prove to say that the sheep only follow the shepherd's voice. The other one, who was not a shepherd, began to call out the sheep. None of them moved. But the moment the shepherd spoke, the sheep got up and started following. The shepherd can speak to the sheep, and the sheep hear the voice. Have you ever gone to a gathering and you didn't know anyone? And you felt all alone and isolated, so distant, and it might be a gathering, might be a party or anything like that. And then you feel lonely because it seems when you look around, there are no familiar faces. And you are probably sitting in a corner, unless you're probably a sanguine who, within a couple of minutes, will just rush in and try to get to know people. But maybe you're so distant, feeling isolated. And then all of a sudden, someone from across the room calls your name. And then you've been recognized. You are known, actually. Somebody knows you. And then what happens is that it seems as if there's a flood of acceptance and honor that comes over you. Then you begin to relax. And what happens? You feel you belong. But before that, you did not feel you belonged there. The good shepherd knows each of his sheep by name. In fact, an Indian theologian by the name of D.T. Niles once noticed a young Indian shepherd boy keeping a huge flock of sheep. And so he stopped and asked, "How many sheep do you have?" "I don't know," answered the boy. "I can't count." Niles asked him, "How do you know if some of the sheep have wandered off when you get to the place where you are going to camp at night?" To his astonishment, the boy answered, "I don't know how many wander off, but I know each one. I can't count, but I know each sheep has a name, and I know their names." And I know their names. This shepherd boy did not know how to count, but knew each sheep by name. And that is how a good shepherd is. Our God knows you by name. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." He knows you by name. If the Bible says that He knows the number of hair in your head, how much more does He know about you? He knows you by name. One scripture I love so much, Isaiah 43 and verse 1 says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." The Lord is saying to you, "I have called you by your name. You are mine." The Lord knows you. You may feel rejected. You may feel as though nobody cares about you. You may feel nobody loves you. Child of God, I came to remind you this morning that God knows you. He knows your name. He calls you by name. And if He does, it shows how much He loves you. Many of us will get disappointed if we introduce ourselves to somebody and we tell them our name, and then a week later or a day later and we meet them and they can't seem to remember our name. We tend to take offense and begin to feel bad. He didn't care. Oh, she didn't care. She can't even remember my name. But God does not forget your name. He knows you by name and He calls you by name. Why? He cares for you. He loves you just the way you are. That's the God that we serve. He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Number three, He died for you. The good shepherd died for you. John chapter 10 and verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is describing Himself as the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Not for Himself, but for the sheep. The good shepherd places His body between the sheep and the animal that is attacking. He comes in between to defend the sheep, and so He puts His life on the line. He would die protecting the sheep. That is the good shepherd that you serve. That is the good shepherd that we're describing today. Jesus died for the lost people. Jesus, the good shepherd, actually gave His life for us. In this text, Jesus affirms the sacrificial nature of His death. And His sacrifice was that, the first thing is that He voluntarily sacrificed Himself. We see that in verse 18. No one took Jesus' life. He willingly and voluntarily gave it up for us. The second thing we see with regards to His sacrifice is that it was a vicarious sacrifice. Jesus did not die just as a martyr, no. So that He can just be killed by people and just be known. No. He died as a substitute, willingly laying down His life for us. Because we were supposed to be the ones who should have died, but He died as our substitute. So that you and I should not die, but should live. That is why when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. This sacrifice was a victorious sacrifice. We see that in verse 17, where it says Jesus did die, but there's something that happened, child of God. He also rose again. The cross is empty. The tomb, the grave is empty. Jesus rose again. And therefore we serve a risen, victorious Savior. He didn't just die. He rose again. Jesus sacrificed His life so that we might be saved. And He willingly gave His life for our lives. He became the sacrificial shepherd for us. He is the good shepherd. As I conclude this morning, having looked at all the characteristics, I want to conclude with this. Allow Him to be your shepherd today. The person who understood this properly and shares it in the Word of God, that God is a good shepherd, was a young shepherd boy who knew the role of a shepherd because he was a shepherd himself and could also share how God is and was his shepherd. And this young man by the name of David sums it up well and explains how good this shepherd is in Psalm 23, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A beautiful psalm. But there is something that I love in this psalm, which is in the first sentence. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He does not say, "He is our shepherd." Is He our shepherd? Yes, He is. But you need to make the Lord your shepherd. Because this is personal. You are the one who's going through the pain. You are the one who's probably going through a storm, or you are the one who's going through victory. You are the one who needs to attribute it to who? Your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, David says, therefore, I shall not want, or I shall not be in need. Because why? My shepherd will ensure that I'm provided for. And how does he make sure? He defines how the shepherd will provide. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And I'd like to pause there briefly. Because when we read that, many of the times when we read that, we're thinking of green pastures because we're thinking of where we live today. Because where we are, there are probably green grass and everything. And we're thinking when David was explaining this, we're thinking he's talking about the Lord taking him to some nice green vegetables in a beautiful farm. That was not the case. Because he was writing this, he was in the wilderness. Children of God, because Israel being a desert, there were no green pastures. So what was David explaining here when he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures? This is what happens. Because it's dry ground. When the wind blows from the Mediterranean Sea and from the waters that are there, it carried itself some moisture. And so when it hits the hills and the mountains, what happens is that the moisture would settle on the rocks. And because of that moisture, there would be grass that would grow there. And therefore, the shepherd knew where the grass was. And that is why the shepherd would lead the sheep to the green pastures. Without the shepherd, the sheep would not know where the green grass was. So until you allow God to be your shepherd, you may not know even where provision is. You may still be holding on to this one thing that you think, or to this uncle who you think should give you the money. But one thing you need to know is to that allow God to be your shepherd, and then he will lead you to where the green grass is. Because there, that's where your provision is. That is the shepherd that we lead. So it's not as though there was green grass, no. But he led them there. He led them there. And the Bible says he leads me besides the still waters. Because why is it still waters? Because the idea is that sheep do not drink from running waters. It needs to be calm. He leads us to quiet places where there's peace. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And many of the times when you're thinking of the valley of the shadow of death, we're thinking, I am in a valley where there is death. Wait a minute. David was explaining something here. Because there were mountains then. And so what was happening is, as the sun was going down on this side, the sun would be hitting the mountain on the other side. And therefore, on this side of the valley, on this side, it would become dark. Why? Not because it was dark in the night, no. But simply because the sun was not penetrating through the mountain. And therefore he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, henceforth it is a shadow. But he says, walk through. Therefore when you walk through that valley, the sun is still shining on the other side, child of God. It does not mean that the sun has stopped shining. Even if you are going through a trying moment, it is simply but a valley of the shadow of death. It is simply but a shadow. It is not the real thing. Meaning there is still sunlight on the other side. All you need to do is simply follow your shepherd who is leading you to a place of victory. Allow the Lord to be your shepherd. Allow the Lord to be your shepherd. Because he will lead you through. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, child of God. You have a God who wants you well fed. You have a God who wants you provided for. Like I mentioned, if you look at where he led them to provision, there was enough, not only for them, but enough for others. This is what was happening. Because there were places where the grass was, the sheep would eat and partake. But this is one thing we need to know. And this is one thing I loved about this when I read this. Is that he provides enough for us. The shepherd would lead them to ensure that they have enough for themselves. But it's not only for themselves. When there was more than enough for that sheep would not keep eating it. There was other sheep that would partake. And that is why when we have more than enough, it is not just so we can keep fattening ourselves, but it's so we can be a blessing to others. So we can be a blessing to others. He will lead us. And that is why, child of God, if you do not allow the Lord to be your shepherd, you may end up starving and dying. Because he, the shepherd, knows where the grass is. Child of God, know this. Sheep cannot lead themselves. As a matter of fact, they do not know where to go. Remember Jesus says and says, they are like sheep without a shepherd, scattered, not knowing where to go. But when the shepherd is there, he leads them besides the still waters. He leads them. He causes them to lie in green pastures. After all this is done, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Why will surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life? Because the Lord is your shepherd. Unless the Lord is your shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will not follow you. Sure, goodness and mercy follows you because you are following the shepherd. Because you are following the good shepherd. So if you are not following the good shepherd, you cannot expect to experience goodness and mercy. Because you are going on your own way. You are going in the path where there are wolves, but the shepherd is before you. And because the shepherd is before you, if an enemy comes, he will defend you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you do not know God as your shepherd, today is an opportunity to accept him as your Lord and Savior. When we think of the characteristics of the good shepherd, I can simply exclaim, what a Savior! Jesus is the good shepherd, a caring shepherd, an understanding shepherd, a sacrificial shepherd. Make Jesus your shepherd today, because he's the good shepherd. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, child of God, accept him today. Accept him today. And you will realize that he knows you. He cares for you. And above all, he died for you, that you may be set free. And so if you are listening and watching me, watching today, and you're one who, if you were to die today, you do not know whether you would go to heaven or to hell, today is an opportunity for you to accept Jesus and make him your shepherd. Simply accept him. And if you're such a one and you're saying, Pastor, I need to make Jesus my shepherd, I realize he's the good shepherd, I want you to pray after me this prayer. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Wherever you are, just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender to this good shepherd and pray this prayer. Said, Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Today, I accept you in my life, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my shepherd. Forgive me of all my sins. And thank you for accepting me into your family, that I am part of that sheep, or the fold of the sheep that you have called out. I receive you. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus is your shepherd. Begin to walk this journey. Please do let us know. We would like to know that you prayed this prayer. Please, in the comment section, just simply say, I prayed that prayer. And somebody will reach out to you, will inbox you. We will ask for your contact number so we can reach you, because we want to give you a book and we want to help you in this new journey that you have begun. And we're so glad you did make that decision. In case you also have a need in your life and you need prayer and counseling, there are numbers that are showing on the screen right now. Please call any one of those numbers, and there's somebody on the other side of the line who wants to reach out to you and be a blessing. Thank you so much. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.